If you are not getting better, you are getting worse. So this is a line from a book from a PN that I was listening to this morning when I was going for a run, and it really struck me. And that's when I thought I should be making a podcast about this. And here we are. It's also my first podcast in English language. And to be honest, that's not entirely the truth, because I had two more, but I never had the guts to post them, because there's always this voice in my head, which you probably have as well. And if you are into the tools by Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels, you will recognize that voice, which is always negative, a very evil energy living inside each one of us, who was blocking me, stopping me from just effing post it. So, but this time, yeah, three is a charm. I don't know if we say it like that in English. I'm going to do it. It's too important not to share what I want to share with you. If you are looking at me for the very first time, my name is Sylvia Holtzlag. I live in the Netherlands. I have a coaching company in which I help people with the tools by Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels and my own to move forward in life and to actualize their full potential. So I believe in walk the talk, practice what you preach, and I'm working on myself diligently daily, which is a big challenge. And this challenge especially was here for me today and is the foundation for this podcast. If you are not getting better, you are getting worse. So this morning was the situation that I wanted to go running, but I had a few worse days leaving behind me, to say it like that. I hope this is correctly formulated. I think I have to stop apologizing for my English at once, because else you will get a lot of apologies. I also feel a little bit nervous now at this moment, so I hope you can forgive me for that. But anyway, the last few days I was pretty hormonal. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was feeling pretty negative, all over the place, chaotic. And instead of doing things that would actually nourish me and doing the things that would help me feel better, I also did a few things that made me feel worse. So when that sentence was mentioned in a book, which is called Above the Line by Coach Urban Meyer. If you're from the States, you probably know him. I had never heard of him. I'm also not into sports. I'm not even sure what kind of sports he is into. I think football, but don't judge me if I don't know. But anyway, I thought this PN, philosopher's note, about this book was very interesting because of this concept, what was in there. And it really struck me. So that's why I wanted to share more about this, because, I had the thing with the hormones, but how many times do we make up excuses to do or not to do something that's actually making the situation for us worse? And of course, this is always under the influence of our part X, but also, like I said, hormones can come looking around the corner, to say it like that, and especially if you are female. So anyway, if you think like, okay, who the F is Brian Johnson? Brian Johnson, if you are into the tools, is being coached by Phil Stutz weekly. He is one of my heroes, together with Phil and Barry, of course. And he is making philosopher's notes, which are like comprehensions of books about personal development, but he's also making lessons about them, and whole training program. And you can follow a coaching program with him. I'm already with that for 8 years, and it's one of the best investments I have made in my life to develop, to grow as a person and as a coach. So I really recommend it. If you find it interesting, I will put an affiliate link in this with this video or podcast, depending on how you are listening or watching this. So you can check out what I'm talking about, and you can try it out for free for 30 days. And if you think, well, this is worthwhile, you can sign up. And just for transparency, if you use my affiliate link, I get like a percentage from the investment you make, which is, by the way, for just the app, which is very helpful to fill in your targets on a day and to check out at the end of the day if you are actually doing it and keeping yourself accountable. But there's also a ton of wisdom in there. It's absolutely worth your money. It's only $200 per year. So that being said, yeah, I want to talk about that sentence with you and why it struck me, because there was in that book, in that philosopher's note, also were a few things which were very interesting. And one of them was the term BCD. And what is BCD? Well, Coach Meyer is saying about BCD, beware of BCD, blame, complain, and defend. BCD has never solved the problem, achieved the goal, or improved a relationship. Stop wasting your time and energy on something that will never help you. Ruthlessly eliminate BCD from your life. And so I was thinking about it, like, have blame, complain, and defend, that I was actually blaming the time of the month, complaining about how shitty I felt. I was actually also, because I journal daily, I was actually also journaling about that I was angry and feeling bad and feeling sad, you know, like a lot of complaining in my journal. And that's the only thing I wrote in the last few days. And also defending that I did a few things which were not beneficial for feeling better. Because I went on Monday, so a few days ago, I went donating blood. It was the first time that I did that. I had never done that. A friend of mine is doing that. And I was a few times thinking, why am I not doing that? I think that's a very good thing. I should be doing that as well. So finally, I took action. I was there for the very first time. The interesting thing is that when you donate blood, after that, you get like a break to sit it out for a moment, because maybe you can feel a little bit lightheaded. So they stuff you full with stuff with sugar, like typical Dutch cookies. There were Easter eggs, and not the cheap shit Easter eggs from the regular cheap ass supermarket, but like the good ones from the good bakery. So, you know, and free, you know, I'm Dutch. So when they hand me something that is free, yeah, sure. So I ate a few of them. I had a cookie later, and you know, you feel that rush of sugar that you normally don't take if you are not so much used to that, pumping up in your system. And after that, it's, whew, you know, and I need something more. And the next thing I did in the last few days was also going to bed too late, and with the excuse like, oh, okay, now I can also sleep in because I don't feel good, so can also skip the gym. So when you add to that more sugar, well, I think I had the same amount of sleep in the end, but still, and I skipped the gym, were actually not things that were helping me. And because of the sugar, I probably also slept worse. So when I read that sentence, or actually listened to that sentence, what Brian Johnson was saying, repeating from Urban Meyer, if you are not getting better, you are getting worse, it actually struck me like, okay, if I'm being ruthlessly, radically honest to myself, I have let go of what I think I know is best for me. And this is not about like, oh, you have to be always perfect. It's not like I normally never eat sugar. But what I did with that blame, complain, and defend excuse, the BCD concept, is actually that I used it in the idea of actually stopping to feel worse about myself. And, you know, again, it's not about perfection. I'm never perfect. So it's not that I never eat sugar normally. But still, I know I exaggerated a little bit because I had that excuse of feeling angry and bad and sad and blah, blah, blah. So one of the things that I want to hand to you is also, where do you blame, complain, and defend yourself as excuses to keep up bad habits that are actually making your situation and you feeling worse? Yeah, because we all do that, of course. What is it for you? Where do you hold yourself back, or doing something too much of something that you know isn't a right fit for you or isn't good for you? What the thing is also with exercise, and when I look at who I want to be as a coach, is that I want to be fit for the job. Like I said, practice what you preach, walk the talk, blah, blah, blah. I have to show up with my best energy, because I find it important that, because if I can't help myself, how can I help other people? How can I show up and be present with other people when I'm intoxicated by unhealthy food, a lack of sleep, a lack of fitness? So I find it very important to show up as the most best heroic self, like Brian Johnson would say. And what did I want to say with this? So that means, you know, no, I lost it for a moment. So today it was like, okay, I wanted to go for that run. But in my head was like, yeah, but maybe... you should postpone that one more day because you are just feeling a little bit better now, which also was a lie from my part, because I was feeling a lot better. I was ready to go, but I was also feeling the upfront pain of going for that run, because in essence, I keep telling myself that I hate running, which is also a Pardex lie. And the devil in my head is lying to me. And you can call it devil or negative energy or whatever, the always negative voice that we all have, or a negative feeling if you don't actually hear a voice that will always try to keep you from moving forward out of your comfort zone. So I was actually making up excuses not to go. But then I looked on the weather radar, like we have it on the app, and I saw that there will be rain with within less than an hour. So it was now or never. Going later would mean that I would get wet. And if I hate something more than just running, it's running when it's raining. A lot of people who run like that, I don't. So that honest I can be to myself. But if I have to, I would. But if I don't, I wouldn't, right? So I went for that run. And before that, I was speaking to my son who was getting ready for school, like, oh, I'm in doubt to go for that run. Shall I do one round or shall I do two rounds? I asked him, and it was just for fun. It's not like I'm really specifically asking my son for personal running advice, but he said, well, do run one round. And that is also a next point that I want to bring to you, that a body that is in motion will stay in motion. Yeah, that's one of Newton's also first laws, that when you are already moving, it's easier to keep moving. So if you make your steps small, the chances is there that you will set the next step as well. There's also this book from BJ Fogg, I think, Tiny Habits. Keep it small. Keep the steps as small as possible. If you want to build a habit, start very small. He has this example of flossing your teeth. Start with one tooth. I mean, how is it that you would floss only one tooth? While you are at it, you're doing the second one as well, right? Well, it's the same with setting goals for yourself, keeping them small. And when you are there, then every next step, also with running, is a bonus step, because you have set the bar low, but not that low that it's not out of your comfort zone, but not too high that it scares the shit out of you, right? So I went for the round, and while running, I was listening to that book. It's called Above the Line, of which is the PN in that heroic app. And there was more that was interesting, except for the BCD concept. And I will, that was this. And it's called the R factor. And that is how With the question, how do you stay above the line? And what means above the line? Above the line means you have your basic setting of what you are doing. And to move out of your comfort zone, you have to get above the line. And that's what you want, you know, you want to move up the line every time because as you get better, your comfort zone also gets bigger. So, you need for that a very powerful equation that affects everything we do, and that's called the R factor. And that means that if there is an event, there is a response, and that will determine the outcome. So it's also how Viktor Frankl always says it, right? It's the metaphor of between. Stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space, in that gap, is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. And that means also for me, like if I'm feeling bad, I still have a choice to respond on that in a good way or in a worse way. You know, there's always one choice that helps you move forward and the one other one that makes actually the situation worse. And be aware that it's also your part X, our part X, that will give you a problem that you don't need to have and giving you a solution that actually makes your situation worse. So if you look at it like that, it's also again about being radically honest, brutally honest to yourself. Is this actually helping me forward or putting me back into safety? Yeah, so also when something happens out of your control, you always have the control over your response. And I know it sounds logic, and a lot of people might say when who are watching or listening to this, yeah, oh, I already know that. Yeah, but knowing is not enough. We must do, you know, do you actually also act on that? So that's where the tools are super helpful because also while running, the mind will say stop long before the body has to. So when I had the first round, there was this like, okay, but you're done. You said one round. You did one round. You can stop now. And I was checking in with my body and I was thinking, like, if I'm radically honest to myself, does my body say stop? And no. My body, you know, I didn't have any complaints or injuries, no complaints from my injuries because I do actually have a knee injury. But I'm visiting a physiotherapist and he gave me exercises and strength training in which I really built the strength on my legs. Why? And that's why my knee has less, is le less hurting me while running. So I run now pain free. And that's such a blessing because I'm running a Spartan race in May in Austin, Texas, also with Heroic, and a week later another one in Zandvoort in the Netherlands. So I have to be fit to show at the starting line. And again, you know, with the running and stuff, I kept telling myself that I don't like running, but it's purely because it takes. It costs me effort, like not only physically, but also in my mind. You know, you need to get fit to get running. And I find like CrossFit, it's something I'm doing already for years, and I find that differently than just run. And now I have to say I find more and more joy in it because now finally I'm not only running pain-free, but I'm actually really getting better at it. And now I'm still running only 6K. So I ran the 3K that was the first round today, and the second one I thought like, you know, I'm gonna try and I'll see how far I will come. But I in my mind I already had, yeah, I want to do that 6K. That will be my PR for this moment, like running without stopping. And yeah, because normally I also used to tend to take breaks, especially and when you are running a Spartan, you don't have to do. The all the kilometers or miles or whatever you're running all at once because there will always be an obstacle which is simultaneously your break in the run. But you know I decided for myself I want to show up fit at the starting line. So I ran, and this is the next concept I want to share with you, and it's actually not from the book Above the Line, but it's from the book from Will Smith, Will. And you can think about Will Smith what you want, especially after the Oscars, where he slapped Chris Rock in his face. I still love Will. I always did, and I love his book. So I really recommend you reading that. But anyway, he was speaking in that book about that he and his brother grew up in a, they had a business at home. His father owned a business, their father owned a business with freezers, refrigerators, and that kind of devices, machines. Well, you get the idea. And there was a leakage in a wall. And that wall had to be teared down and built up again. And the thing is that the father let his sons build that wall. And imagine that these are two little guys from 7 and 9 years old who had to build a whole wall from zero top up. And it was a long, high wall, especially for those small kids. So that meant that after school, in the weekends, they always were busy building that wall. So at a certain moment, after a few months, Will was sitting at the dining table and complaining about building that wall, that it never ended and it was so tough and blah, blah, blah. And when is it finished? And at a certain point, their dad had enough and he slapped at the table like, and now you stop complaining about that wall. There is no wall. There's only the next brick. So you have the brick. You put the words, the stuff on top, so and you put it on the perfect place, and then you take the next brick and you do the same thing and you put it perfectly in place as well. And that was a concept that helped me so much also during my run. Every time, like, there is no, you know, the complete distance, because then you focus only on the outcome. Eh? In their case, the wall, for me, it would be that 6K. There's only the next step, and you place your foot down as perfectly as you can, because I have to really think about that, especially because I had that injury and all those complaints while running. It's I have to put my foot down in a certain way, which doesn't come naturally to me. For me, it would be naturally to place my heel down and then my toes. Everybody who runs knows that you have to start from the whole foot, you know, you have to place down your whole foot and better start even at the toes. So that's for me, that means that I have to think about every step. So not about the outcome and the finish line, but placing my foot down perfectly. And all those small steps together make the wall, the whole trajectory, the 6K, the 10K, the 20K, whatever you are running or are doing with your life, you have to divide it in steps. And one of my clients actually showed it so nicely with like a ladder, huh? A ladder, you can have two ladders, and one with the steps a long distance between each other, or one with small steps, like I just said before, with flossing your teeth. You know, what is easier, to keep the small steps or start with the big steps? And we are so used to like, oh, it has to be big, because if it's not big, it's not meaningful. But small is not only easier to start, but also easier to repeat. So I want to encourage you, take at least take the small steps. That's the very least you can go do, and actually develop yourself from there. And that's where the tools also come in place, like the reversal of desire. While running, I'm using that tool all the time. Bring it on, Isle of Pain, pain sets me free. Bring it on, Isle of Pain, pain sets me free. Like, with every step I'm taking, I'm using that tool. I'm using the Active Love tool. If you are familiar with the tools book, and else you can look up the tools on thetoolsbook.com. It's like I'm breathing in love and then breathing out love. It's like I'm running with love on my side. And I know how that sounds maybe to you, but if you are not so much into this yet, but it actually helps, because else there is the pain from the resistance, and then it becomes suffering. pain can be there, and I actually did also feel pain because at the end of that run, I felt that my feet really began to hurt because I'm just not used to running longer, and I still also have to get different shoes, I think. But it becomes suffering when there pain becomes suffering when there is resistance all the time. So I focused on my heart, I focused on the tool, and I just moved forward with every step. Seeing as just a part of the whole, focusing on the step instead of the whole thing, right? So that's also what I wanted to share with you. Is there anything else? Yes, well, this was my final how do you call it? That I'm finally putting this online. I'm actually doing this, so find it very important to share this with you out of my comfort zone. It's so interesting that I have this resistance from my products, obviously, of doing this as I'm coaching people also in English language. So, and I'm even starting a tool school for professionals. So for people, coaches or professionals who want to work with the tools in their life and business to help other people move forward. And this will start on the 12th of May. We'll be online via Zoom. I have room for 8 people, 4 already signed up. So, and I expect the fifth one to come also soon, where I personally will coach you and learn you everything I know, of as far everything I know that would be a lot because I know so much. No, but everything you need to coach other people with the tools by Phil Stutz and Barry Michaels. And to make it very clear, this is no accreditation to become a tools coach. I'm the only tools coach from Europe on their website, but that's not an official accreditation. It's because they know me and I know how hard I have studied on the tools these past few, well, 8 years, and showing up every time, every webinar, every workshop that they give. I know them personally a little bit, so they know that I'm good for it, you know. It will be my perspective on their work. So, like, who do you have to be as a tools coach? Yeah, that means how do you have to take care of your own energy to be able to coach other people with this work? And of course, using the tools yourself as well. It's not that I'm teaching this to other people and I'm not using that. There is not a day passing by that I'm not using a tool. And that's very important for me. Even when I feel like shit, I will always use like the active love tool. It's the bare minimum. I will always connect with my shadow. I'm pointing here because she's always here with me. And that's what I want to teach others as well, because it's has changed my life over 180 degrees. And I can only encourage people as well to start working with the tool. So if you feel so inspired, you can book a free session with me to get to know each other a little bit, to check if this is maybe also a program for you. It takes 5 months. You learn at least 20 tools from Phil and Barry, and also a few of mine. It's a bit of heroic work will be involved. What else? You will be paired up with a buddy. You will do a lot of practicing because practice makes perfect. Never perfect, but always doing our best, and to show up as our best selves as coaches to help make this world a better place, because we do that one by one, and not we can't do it like in big steps, but also step by step, small steps, which will have like this ripple effect on not only on yourself, because you have to change as a person and as a coach, but also for the people in your surroundings and the people you effect with this work. Well, that's a little bit chaotic how I'm explaining that. If you want to know more, please feel free to email me or visit my website. That's www.sylviaholtzlag.nl. I will put it also, because I have to spell everything out, I will also put it in the notes so you can visit it, book a free session. I'm eager to meet you, honored to meet you, and see if I can mean anything for you. And if not, it's also okay, no obligations whatsoever. I want to thank you for still listening, that you came until here With my accent and English mistakes, but I hope you forgive me for that. And I hope to see you soon in a new podcast or a video podcast, or maybe in person. I wish you all the best, a beautiful day. I hope you take a lot out of this information podcast I've shared with you, and see you soon. Bye.